From the Pick Point Studios, this is Minnesota Sports Station. FM 100.3, KFXN Minneapolis, St. Paul. The Fan.
PA. 9 to noon.
Minnesota is so hot.
Hell no, we're going to go to playoffs next year. I'll tell you that.
Coach Allen, how's everything going over there in the studio today?
Paul, you're not a great football mind.
Goodbye.
Super Bowl homeboy.
I'm confident that we'll be world champions. Now, that's what I've said right from the start, and I'm still confident of that.
Okay, calm down.
With the third pick in the NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings select.
Blackman again breaks a tackle, and here he goes, running away from the defense. Injured and all, it's a touchdown for Oklahoma State. Throws deep on second and seven, looking for Blackman, and he has it. And off he goes for a touchdown.
From the one is Claiborne. A 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown by sophomore Morris Claiborne.
Deep downfield to 81, Justin Blackman.
Empty backfield for Griffin. He has time, launches it to the end zone. Touchdown! Luck lobs, got one on one.
I'll get you.
In trouble here. And doesn't go down. Griffin inside the 10. Heisman touchdown! Wow, Robert Griffin the third.
I'll meet you.
Super Bowl homeboy.
Hell no, we're going to go to playoffs.
I'll follow your coast downtown. Keep hanging.
Welcome to the 2012 National Football League Scouting Combine with Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. And we start the Combine festivities with former Minnesota Vikings head coach and current Cleveland Browns offensive coordinator Brad Childress. Brad, how you been?
Great, Paul.
Congratulations.
Great to see you.
Congratulations on the new job. What was it like being out of it for a little while?
You know, it really gave great perspective. Kind of fun. Had twin grandsons born and was
wow.
able to spend a good portion of time with them and just see things from afar. That was the biggest takeaway.
Obviously we don't know what you're going to do at four. Maybe you guys don't even know what you're going to do at four. You're the offensive coordinator for a team with Colt McCoy. And when you got that job, I looked at it, and at first blush, remembering things you told me about Colt McCoy when he was coming into the NFL.
Refresh my memory.
That he's tailor-made for a West Coast offense. And I'm not going to pigeonhole you into what you're going to do there and who you're going to draft and stuff like that. But it looked, and who knows, you might even end up with a kid from Baylor. But it looked to me, with that quarterback and the way you like to operate offense, it kind of looked like a perfect match. Do you see it that way at this stage?
Well, the thing I'll say in just the very little bit of film that I've been able to take away is it's really like Colt's second year in the NFL. He ran around a little bit his first year. Obviously, no off season, no training camps. He's learned a whole new system. So the way I look at it is, you know, got a chance to make a jump.
Yeah.
With another lap around the track.
Yeah.
You know, another one of your weapons that you're going to have, Joshua Cribbs, very versatile guy. There's a lot of guys like that in the NFL, Brad Smith, Joe Webb, maybe. Those types of athletes that you just want to get them on the field, there's more and more of those. How do you utilize a guy like that?
Well, in Josh's case, you know, he plays wide receiver, but he's an outstanding special teams guy.
Yeah.
He's an outstanding return guy, and he runs down on kicks and can make tackles. So basically a four-phase special teams guy that can be impactful there. And then you're trying to get him touches on the offensive side, too.
Well, was any part of watching Vikings football difficult for you last year?
You know what? You hate to see struggles, you know. Those are good people there. From the Wilfs to Leslie and his staff, you know, you always hate to see that.
Did you formulate any Christian Ponder-related opinions from what you saw of him?
You know what? I thought he did a good job. You know, the key will be to stay healthy, and as Bud Grant always told me, you know, your best ability is availability.
Off, Brad Childress is our guest at the NFL Combine. Much more coming up a little later. A couple of quickies for Brad. He has to go quickly. But your second stint as offensive coordinator in the National Football League, off that run in Philadelphia, then head coaching for the Minnesota Vikings, with the successful run you had there with the division titles, almost getting to the Super Bowl at the end of the 09 season. Did you learn anything different about yourself or about your approach to the game or your approach to anything in that time down, Brad?
Well, I think every year you end up learning different things, but this will be a completely different situation in Cleveland. And really at the stage I'm at career-wise, it's good to be with people you know and trust. And Pat Shurmur and Tom Heckert, known Mike Holmgren for 20 years, so I'm a firm believer you end up where you're supposed to be.
And you've known Tom from the Eagles days, correct?
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
He was general manager back there.
Yeah. Last one.
Well, we're going to talk to Rick Spielman and Leslie Frazier, head coach and GM, but as a coordinator, what is your role at the Combine? It's going to be a little bit different for you than from the previous year, so what are you going to do over the next few days?
You know, you basically watch all the offensive positions. You know, we just got done with the offensive line and tight end weigh in, and we'll interview some of those guys tonight, and the workouts will start tomorrow, and you know, it's hurry up and wait right now.
And you love the interview process, right? I know you with the psychological background, and you love that.
I do, and we do it a little bit differently in Cleveland, but it's a good difference.
Yeah. With the year down, your wife Drew, did she survive it, having you around all the time?
You know what? I'm just barely getting her to come to town to see me now. So.
Brad, best of luck
to
you, man.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for taking time to join us, all right?
All right.
Brad Childress, former head coach for the Minnesota Vikings. And, Wabi, that's what's beautiful about the National Football League Scouting Combine.
Yep.
Thank you, Brad. Have a good day. Good luck, man. You never know who's going to roll around. I'm on a connector yesterday, as I wrote about on my show page at KFAN.com last night. Baby Joe Nelson producing the show here. Ryan Donaldson back at the flagship. Joe and I connected in Chicago. Had to wait around there for a minute, flying on this little puddle jumper bit. Never been on a plane that small. From Chicago to Indianapolis. And there, two rows behind me, is Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah.
And, man, I mean, what a loud talker. He's having a conversation with Sidney Rice.
Right.
Two rows behind me. And he basically did everything but say, "Hey, everybody, I'm talking to Sidney Rice, receiver, National Football League, much maligned Seattle Seahawks."
That's how he rolls.
And he had the blue tool bit on. You know, he's talking. I'm like, that's Drew Rosenhaus, man. That's cool. So I had a little conversation with him when we got off the plane. We're waiting for our bags. Yeah, hey, we were 3-13, man. You got any free agents out there who can help us? Yeah, plenty. Who? Hey, I got to go, kid, man. I'm like, okay, South Beach just met Cornfield,
right.
Thus the NFL Scouting Combine.
Yeah, and, I mean, he represents Bryant McKinney, Bernard Berrien, and Sidney Rice. I mean, so things aren't exactly going great with him and the Vikings right now. But
So when you're at the Combine, man, it's gonna be wild. We hope to run into some really, really interesting characters. It was nice to talk to Brad Childress right out of the gate. Rick Spielman, the general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, will join us in 35, 40 minutes. We're going to have an elongated conversation with Rick about pick number 3 and free agency and the Combine vibe and everything. And that's really the beauty of it. You get a feel for Khalil. You try to figure if Morris is for us. You try to figure out if we need to cope with Copels. And it all starts now. The 3-13 officially in the rearview mirror. This is the official start of the 2012 National Football League season.
We're 0-0.
From Lucas Oil Stadium, National Football League Scouting Combine. Radio Row, by the way, is blown up.
Right.
I mean, last year when you were here exclusively for Vikings.com trying to run down something called Nathan Enderle because you hear he had a big arm at Idaho and put that on the website at Vikings.com.
Pat Devlin.
It was Sirius NFL Radio and us.
Yeah.
And that's it. Now, this year, to your left, you got a Phoenix radio station. To our right, we have some people from Indianapolis.
You set a trend.
And then you got a Baltimore radio station and a Cleveland Browns intensive radio station, yep, and Sirius NFL radio. But so this for rubes like us, man, we're a couple of rubes who live the purple and gold vibe every day. Mike Wobshaw from Vikings.com. Follow his work during the combine. And, of course, make sure you stay with us at KFAN.com. We're going to take a lot of pictures, do a lot of interviews, write a lot of blog postings, and we're going to do radio shows here today and tomorrow.
And it's really cool because you mentioned some of the guys who are going to go in the top 10 that we're going to see rolling through here, but it's not just that. I mean, we're going to talk about free agency, and we're going to talk about salary cap, and this is just the coolest place to be because short of NFL players, any team that you follow is, yeah, obviously represented here.
Yeah.
Anyone that you read or listen to in the media, they're here.
Yeah.
Your favorite college football players that played, they're here. I mean, yeah, this is where you need to be.
Yeah, it was there, and you see so many unique things. Like Joe and I are waiting for the equipment to come off the plane, and it's checked and everything in Indianapolis. And there's Michael Floyd.
Yeah.
Creighton Durham Hall in Notre Dame. Joe talked to him for a little bit. Got a phone number, set up some contacts for up to the draft and stuff like that. Go out, wait for the taxi. There's Norv Turner.
Jeez.
So I introduced, yeah, myself to Norv Turner, and he could not have been any kinder. He was so sweet. And I may flippantly have just made the stupidest joke in the world.
What?
Where I just couldn't control myself when I get in the Zora, and I'm just so excited to be here and so excited to get that putrid 3-13 thing behind us, try to figure out what we're going to do at 3, dabble in free agency, introduce myself to Norv, blah, blah, blah. He knows this guy. I know this guy. Hey, if things don't work out with Vincent Jackson, man, we sure could use him.
We'll take him
up there in the cornfields. And he looked at me, and it was that awkward pause where it's like the next thing that needs to be said is kind of, well, it sure is a nice day outside, and, you know, with the weather this nice here in Indianapolis, it sure makes for good street conditions for the commute.
Sure was a smooth flight here, no turbulence.
And he said, you guys have some good talent up there. Have a good day.
Yeah, see,
and that was it.
This is business as usual for him. He's probably been to 25 of these. Yeah. You and I are
that's
babies.
That's my second. I know.
Yeah, I know. So that's
and then how about the lobby of the hotel last night? All right, we come back after hanging out for a little bit. There's Jeff Fisher, new coach for the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah.
Earlier in the day, I went up and introduced myself to him. I'm a fan of his. Longevity matters a lot to me in a lot of different arenas. And, you know, his days with the Tennessee Titans really spoke for themselves. Got the team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm a Jeff Fisher fan. So I went up and introduced myself, chatted with him for all of 45 seconds. That's earlier in the day. Steve Loney, former offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings, who was a weekly guest back when it was PA in Dubai.
Yeah.
He recently was fired by Jeff Fisher from his offensive line coaching job in St. Louis. And within the last 36 hours, I didn't even know this, he landed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yep.
So there's Steve Loney walking into the lobby, catching up, sharing old stories, Mike Tice this, Dante Culpepper that, blah, blah, blah. And then Jeff Fisher walks in and approaches Steve Loney.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, X amount of days or weeks ago that Jeff fired Steve Loney, and it was just a weird dynamic, yeah, looking at those two talk to each other, and I always love that one moment took place when Jeff looked at Steve and said, Steve, looks like you've lost a little weight, and Steve didn't know what to say, and then I whispered to you, well, I can't eat.
Right.
I mean,
he fired him.
You fired me, man. I mean, how am I supposed to eat? Of course I'm losing weight. I'm sitting
always
here on crumbs. I love that one.
I mean, think about the pats on the back that we could get, or the money under the table, if we could have read the minds of the two guys that you've talked to, Jeff Fisher, and then we just had Brad Childress on there.
Yeah.
One picks right in front of us, one picks right behind us.
Yeah.
You know? And it'd be great to know what they knew right now.
Wobby, I have a kid coming up later on the radio show named Tony Pastores.
Rams.
He's one of the capologist guys for the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah.
I met him last year. We've stayed in contact during the offseason a lot. He went to Totino Grace, played football at Totino Grace. Rob Brzezinski for us, capologist guy, he's in that department, and he's on the fast track to fame. He's a really, really smart, engaging kid. He's going to join us at about 10:35 cornfields time, so be awesome. Ready for that.
I got questions for him, too. Salary cap related, trade related with the new rules of the CBA and the rookie wage scale. Does he foresee more trades? That would be really cool to ask him about that. I mean,
yeah,
there's so many new rules, and he had to cram and know all those, and this is the time where they have to know them with free agency coming up, too.
So you never know who you're going to run into when you're in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium for the National Football League Scouting Combine. This radio show and the entire trip provided by by Max at Pawn. Learn more about Max at Pawn online at maxatpawn.net. Here, you know, we're set to come into the radio show and talk about the feel for Khalil. And lo and behold, there's Brad Childress, former coach of the Minnesota Vikings, offensive coordinator for the Browns. He stops by and joins us for a couple of minutes. In fact, about an hour ago, we had the opportunity to chat with the great Chris Mortensen from ESPN. Here's what it sounded like. How many combines for you? Any idea?
Let's see. I'm now 75 years old, and the combine is probably about 30 years old. I don't know, 35 years old.
Yeah.
It's quite a few. I actually went through a point where, early on, I think I was one of only two or three guys who ever came. And then this thing has grown into a major mega event, as you know. And when it actually grew larger, I skipped a few. And then I realized that you have to be here. Not because it allows you a chance to prepare for the NFL draft, get familiar with the names. But as you know, every executive is here. Every coach is here. So really, it sets up your entire discussion of off-season talk, which, as you know, the off-season comes with quotations.
So what you're saying is you and Gil Brandt scouted Sammy Baugh here, and that's how it all started.
It is. In fact, I was the one who recommended Sammy Baugh to all the NFL teams, and I said, you know, he could spin it pretty good.
Impromptu, more report on the home of the Vikings, the fan, Wobby.
You know, Chris, this Indianapolis obviously hosts the Super Bowl. They host the Combine every year. Lucas Oil Stadium, a great stadium, perfect venue for big events like the Combine and the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was the one thing that you saw. I mean, that's why, you know, coming here for the Super Bowl, I wasn't like surprised or didn't have this on what's this going to be like, because we know now the scouting combine is not the Super Bowl, and if you were here for the Super Bowl, you saw it was you know, shoulder to shoulder in the streets. But I thought that, you know, the city planners, they posted Final Fours, they could probably use one more big hotel. They added the one JW Marriott, but at the same time, it's a great restaurant town, you know. And it's proximity, you know. It's a little bit like New Orleans,
yeah.
Only it's not New Orleans. So, you know, as to whether they'll get another one, that remains to be seen.
We won three games last year. Any way to make the Vikings better?
Yeah, win four. listen, I just think it's a case of, you know, a staff that comes together and feels comfortable together. I'm a pretty big believer in Bill Musgrave, the offensive coordinator. I was like on the fence on Christian Ponder going into the draft, but boy, when I saw him play, I liked what I saw. And people, you know, the reference points in this for me are like, well, you know, when Troy Aikman's rookie year, I mean, it was rough. I mean, he was what, 1-15?
Yeah.
Okay, Peyton Manning was he 3-13?
Yeah.
And I'm not putting Christian in those classes, but I saw a guy who, and knowing the type of guy that Musgrave liked, which is a guy who's fluid. Who's got enough arm, enough mobility, and is extremely smart, because at some point you're going to see Bill Musgrave put this hurry-up offense, a lot of things that they did with Matt Ryan in Atlanta. But now we're talking about the obvious. The other thing is the offensive line obviously has to be bolstered. You would hope that the defense gets fixed. I mean, that's the problem. You're playing in a division that is just literally it's a powerhouse division.
You know, with the Vikings, and you mentioned Christian Ponder, putting pieces around him. I mean, Christian, there were times last season where he made some plays with the weapons that we had, and now you look at this free agent wide receiver class. Do you think the Vikings will have an opportunity to add a piece or two to the puzzle to help Ponder?
Well, they can. I mean, first of all, this is a big receiver draft, and it's got a pretty good receiving free agent class, we think. We got to wait to see the franchise tags and the transition tags come in. But, yeah, no, it's there to add another weapon for Christian Ponder. But you also have to add defense. Defense is a quarterback's best friend, too. Field position, you make a mistake, you throw an interception, oh, your defense gets it back. So there's a lot of things that the Vikings have to address. The problem is it's the Packers, Lions, and even the Bears division right now.
Chris, a lot different this year with the, you know, you come here to scout out the rookies, get the steam with free agency and everything, like you said. But this time last year when we chatted, it was all about the lockout. Is this year's lockout-related talker Peyton Manning and what his future looks like?
No lockout, thank God. No, listen, I mean, to me, it's just back to the routine. And, yeah, we're getting ready for free agency. League year starts March 13th. The decision on Peyton has to be March 8th. We're in his town. You know, there's not going to be any, you know, there may be discussion about Peyton Manning this week, but there's not going to be any headlines that come out of this week, unless Jim Irsay has a surprise for us, which, as you know, he's certainly capable of. But there's nothing planned for there to be any major news break out of Indianapolis this week. But that's me still not being able to read the mind of the owner, Jim Mercer.
At this stage of the process, what do you know about Robert Griffin III?
Oh, you know what? Everybody I've talked to, I talked to Terry Shea, who's working with him out there in Arizona. And Terry's worked with Matthew Stafford and Sam Bradford and Josh Freeman, a lot of these guys. And Terry's been in the NFL, respect him a lot. He said, boy, this guy, he goes, his arm, he goes, on those 18 to 22-yard throws, which, you know, most people don't realize, those are the throws you got to make. And those number plays outside the number, he said, it's as strong as any of them, and it's basically as accurate as any of them. So when you put him in that company, start plus the smarts, you can see the smarts, plus the arm strength, the work ethic, then it's just a matter of, okay, durability. When you're a good athlete, you got to be careful. He's not Cam Newton. Cam Newton's 6'5", 248. This guy's more, you know, one of the things we're interested to see is how tall is he going to be? Is it going to be 6'2"? Is it going to be 6'1.5"? It's not a big deal, but he's going to have to be careful with how he uses his athleticism. Otherwise, you'll end up like Michael Vick, which is he missed 4 or 5 games a year.
Enjoy the combine, and thanks for the time.
All right, guys. Thanks.
And that's Chris Mortensen from ESPN. We had Brad Childress, former Vikings coach, atop the show. And there's Mr. Lovey Smith in front of us now. How you guys doing? How you doing, Lovey? Good luck to you, man. That's the combine, man. I mean,
it's awesome.
I think I just saw Janoris Jenkins.
I think you've been on him for a long time.
I think I just saw North Alabama's finest walk by us. And if we're able to chat with him over the next couple of days, that'd be great. At the scouting combine in Indianapolis, thanks to Max Ippon with Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. I'm Paul Allen. Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, about 20-25 minutes from now, here with us at Lucas Oil Stadium and the National Football League scouting combine. When we return, the man who co-hosted the combine show last year, Paul Charchi, and get some run on these very special days for us here at your home for Vikings football. The combine is provided by Max Ippon, and we'll be back to Lucas Oil Stadium after this.
PA and Wabi, live from Indy on the radio home of the Vikings, The Fan.
Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium, Mike Wabshaw, Paul Allen. Thanks to Max Ippon, joined now by the man who, what's going on, Evan? The man who co-hosted the show last year and is a vital member of the Friday Football Feast, Paul Charchian from LeagueSafe.com. Mr. Charchian, what's going on? Okay. Jermichael Finley has come to terms on a new deal with the Green Bay Packers. Mr. Wabshaw, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it was going to be, if that didn't happen, that was going to be an interesting scenario, because if you'll remember the Ravens and Terrell Suggs, when he was a free agent, there was a dispute on when Baltimore put the franchise tag on him, is he a linebacker or a defensive end? And it's a big deal because there's a huge difference in pay. Defensive ends getting paid more because that's a more premium position with pass rushing and sacks.
Yep.
The same thing was going to happen with Jermichael Finley, because Jermichael Finley and his representatives were going to claim that he's a wide receiver, and the wide receiver franchise number is much higher.
I thought was interesting.
Right. That was going to be an interesting dispute that they were going to have. It would have to go to some arbitration or independent body that would have to make a determination.
Determination in that they would have to watch back all the plays that he played. Every snap to figure out where he lined up. Florio and I from ProFootballTalk.com got into this pretty good on Tuesday, where just top of the head from my standpoint, I can't remember a zillion times that he had the hand in the grass, kind of handcuffed to the tackle, but I remember him slot right, slot left, or wide a zillion times.
And the difference in tag numbers this year, wide receiver, $9.6 million. tight end, $7.3 million.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. That's a big difference. That was going to be a huge dispute. They avoid all of that. And another interesting thing, a lot of times players want the long-term contract because they feel it's security.
Yep.
This is a two-year deal. JerMichael Finley, I don't know off the top of my head how old he is. I'm guessing he's 25 or 26.
Yeah.
And he got a pretty good deal, $15 million. He's going to get another. He's going to hit the free agent market in 2 years. He's still going to be in the prime of his career, and he's going to get paid somewhere.
Paul Charchi and LeakSafe.com. Paul Allen, Mike Wabshaw, Indianapolis. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? I'm
good.
I'm very jealous. I assume you're having a great time.
We are. We miss you, Charge.
It's good, man. I mean, you'd love it. It's like last year rolled in. There's Chris Mortensen. Chat with him for a minute. Brad Childress just rolled by, congratulated him on his new post as offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. With the combine, my friend, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, you know, having been there before, it's a great opportunity to get up to speed really quickly on the draft and talk to people that are, you know, typically, you know, that do this all the time. They're really plugged in, people that really know the draft intimately. And so, you know, for me, one of the great things is, you know, all the people you run into and all the people that have already put in a lot of work on the draft. And, you know, you run into guys like Mortensen and Mayock and all the, you know, you're right down the table from you, the NFL channel, right?
Yeah.
You know, you can house a bunch of those guys, and you get up to speed so quickly on so many guys and all the scuttlebutt, and it's for people who love the draft, like you and I and Mike, it's just fantastic. I would rather be at the combine than the draft itself. I mean, you know, there's things happening and people and, you know, stuff to talk about, and all the athletes are there. It's great.
Charge, I want to go fantasy football on a draft-related question for the Vikings. A lot of times you'll talk about in the preseason to fantasy football, and if you're in a weird spot in the draft, you either, you know, you do the opposite or you load up on wide receiver, and then you rely, maybe we'll trade later to fill out our roster and be more balanced. What is, do you think for the Vikings it's an option to, if Blackman is there at number 3, you take Blackman, you sign a blue-chip wide receiver in free agency, a Vincent Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, Stevie Johnson, something like that? Yes, you don't tackle the cornerback position early and address that, which is clearly a weakness, but you load up at wide receiver. Is that an option for the Vikings, especially in this division?
Well, you know, good question, and it would be a fun strategy to take in the sense that, you know, you already have Percy Harvin. You take a free agent, and then you go, you know, another promising young wide receiver, and you say, you know what, this is not going to be a problem for us for the next, you know, whatever, 5 years. We're not going to have a problem at the wide receiver position. But, I mean, just so many glaring needs, and you've already got Percy Harvin, who's, you know, one of the three best slot receivers in the game. And, you know, I wouldn't advocate that approach, but I think it'd be a fascinating one, and I think it's very ballsy, and I kind of like to see Winter Park try to pull it off. But
yeah,
you know, with everything, you know, I hate to say this, because I've been saying it, I say it again, because I've been saying it since basically October. With so much value in money and draft picks that you've got in this offense, you know, not having a left tackle that can keep your quarterback upright and open holes for Adrian Peterson. I mean, you know, so much this team's success all from Christian Ponder's development and Adrian Peterson being Adrian Peterson, and you know, with the line play that they've gotten, those guys aren't able to show us what they got. So yeah, I just, you know, I don't advocate that approach, but Wabi, I love the theory and I like how Balch is, and you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they decided to go that way. That's, you know, it'd be fun. It'd make this offense awfully interesting, but you get used to a lot of three-step drops. I mean, Christian Ponder wouldn't have any more time next year than he had this year.
Mike Wabshaw, Vikings.com, Paul Allen, fan, Paul Charchi, and LeagueSafe.com, National Football League Scouting Combine.
Charch, I would not advocate for that approach either. Completely agree with you. If this was like the Republican debates and the primaries and I had to endorse someone right now, it's early, but I would endorse Matt Khalil as the pick at number 3. But
yeah.
I also think there, you know, the other side of that, kind of playing devil's advocate here, is I think people would be amazed at how better Charlie Johnson or left tackle DeJure would look if you had weapons like a Justin Blackman and a Percy Harvin and a Kyle Rudolph and a wide receiver in the free agent market. Sometimes that can make your left tackle look better. And you know, Charlie Johnson played left tackle for the Colts, and they won a Super Bowl with him. And I think it's because Peyton Manning was so good and got the ball out on time. If you have those weapons, I think Ponder can get the ball out on time. So it'll just be interesting to see how the Vikings approach this, because there's so many different ways they can go, you know?
Okay, but I agree. I mean, clearly wide receivers can help an offense and can help the passing game. And when you've got reliable guys who can get open 5-10 yards off the line of scrimmage, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
My worry would be, ultimately, you need your left tackle. If you want to have any kind of downfield passing attack, you need your left tackle to be able to hold a block consistently for, 3-4 seconds. And, I don't know that you're going to get that with Charlie Johnson. We saw a whole team of them not consistently doing that. And what I think we really want to see is more of a downfield passing attack than what we saw this year, so we can pull some men away from that line of scrimmage and give Adrian Peterson more running room at the line of scrimmage.
Charge, you remember the combine from last year, man. I mean, this year it's a feel for Khalil and stuff like that, trying to figure out, where the steam is generating in terms of players for the April draft. But free agency, man, free agency is 3 weeks away. I mean, we are sneaking up on maybe one of the deepest free agent classes that I've seen in recent history. Because of the lockout last year, it was a bastardized free agency. And a lot of things got pushed off for another year. So, you just look at some of these names out here, man, from Drew Brees through Carl Nix and Ray Rice and Matt Flynn. Of course, we're going to have franchise tags up and down. But nevertheless, free agency, man, is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, absolutely. And at the wide receiver position, which is a position of need for our Vikings, of course, you figure that Wes Welker is not leaving. You figure Dwayne Bowe's not leaving. But there's still a lot of interesting names out there. DeSean Jackson, Reggie Wayne, Vincent Jackson, Marcus Colston, Stevie Johnson, Brandon Lloyd, Robert Meacham, Mario Manningham. Juan Robinson was really good for the Cowboys this past year. He's going to be available. And what is this Mike Wallace story? Really? He might actually get out of Pittsburgh? I mean, that position, it's crazy, crazy deep at wide receiver. Not all those guys are number one. Some of them are. Some of them are going to be good number twos, but Vikings need help on both. They need outside help at both starting positions. Only Percy Harvin's the only settled spot on this whole team at that position. I'm be fascinated to see what the Vikings do at wide receiver. So many good options out there, and it mitigates the need to have to draft a receiver early.
Yeah, Charge, going off of free agency, it is a deep class, but I also think that a lot of teams have a lot of money to spend because they've gotten so sophisticated at massaging the cap that they put themselves in good position. And so what I think that does is, for every team, but the Vikings especially, 16 unrestricted free agents and great moves to lock up Greenway, Peterson, and Sullivan during the season. Those are three free agent signings, really. So you might not be able to go deep in the free agent market and get a bunch of guys. So of the Vikings unrestricted free agents, and I'm thinking Hussein Abdullah, I'm thinking EJ and Aaron Henderson, I'm thinking Shanko, Benny Sapp, are there any that you think are must-retain free agents that the Vikings have to deal with here?
Not must retain, but I'd like to see Abdullah come back because I do think he's a starter quality player at a position of significant need.
Yep.
And thought that he's gotten better over the course of his entire career. So he's to me the one guy that I'd really like to see this team come make a point to bring back, and he'd be affordable. There's not going to be a run on Hussein Abdullah out there. So he's one guy. Speaking of safety position, right now it's very early. My hunch of where the Vikings go in the second round with their early second round pick is at the safety position. A guy named Mark Barron from Alabama grades out at right about that spot, and it's a real position of need. And there's one really good safety in this draft, and it's him. And if you don't get him, then you're starting to look in the third and fourth rounds for safeties. So if he's available for the Vikings at early second round, then I think safety might make a lot of sense for this team.
I love when you talk like that.
I do too, Charge. He played for Alabama, won a national championship, might have won two. And you're right. He is the best safety in the draft. And I think, Charge, he might fall a little bit further than most people thought, maybe a couple weeks ago or a month ago, because he's dealing with an injury. He might be limited here at the combine. I love that take. And so much trade talk with the Vikings, the number three overall pick. And if they can pull off a really good trade, they might be in a position where even if they have to sneak back up into the first round to take someone like that, or even if it's Michael Floyd, I mean, Rick Spielman, the three of us know, and Vikings fans know, he is not afraid to pull off a trade going up or down, and he might have the ability with 10 picks to do something like that and get two first round picks perhaps.
Yeah, I don't want to. We've talked about this a lot as well, Lobby. I'm very leery about moving down too far in the first round, But I like the notion of trying to move up a little bit in the second round and getting a player that is a legitimate first-round talent. And if you're worried about that guy sliding, maybe to get you in the second round, get into the second round, you know, go get your guy. You know, a little bit like the Lions did with the Vikings a few years ago. You don't have to move up a lot. You don't have to give up a lot. But, you know, sometimes moving up just three or four spots secures your guy. And I like being aggressive that way when it doesn't cost you a lot. And that might be a good move. The only thing working really against trying to go safety with one good safety on the board, every team with safety need is going to be looking at him. And so that's going to be the only concern when there's only, you know, we've only got one really good safety in this draft. You know, other teams that need safety are going to be looking at him as well, so it might not be easy to get him to the Vikings in the second round. But if he's there, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that selection.
All right, ma'am. Miss you. We'll call you after the radio show, and we'll call you for the radio tomorrow, 9:20 Central. Okay.
I'm looking forward to it. Have a great time, guys. Very jealous. This is some of the best radio you guys will do all year. Have fun.
Thanks, Chuck.
I appreciate it. See you later. Paul Charchian, LeagueSafe.com, and part of the Friday Football Feast. Each and every Friday from 9 until noon on your home for the Minnesota Vikings and the National Football League, The Fan. Now, in closing, before Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, joins us, you guys started talking about receivers, free agent receivers, and, you know, I've heard Rick Spielman say this before, and he'll probably say it with us here, but supposedly it's a very bountiful wide receiver class in terms of the draft. You know, and I'm looking at this sheet that we put together with 2012 wide receiver draft prospects, and you know, just how deep it goes, man. I mean, it starts with Justin Blackmon from Oklahoma State, 4-5 guy in the 40, projected first rounder. Michael Floyd, projected first round. Kendall Wright Baylor, used to ball with Robert Griffin III, projected first round. You go through those guys, Wobby, all the way down to B.J. Cunningham from Michigan State. I remember watching him in the Big Ten and just how good at times he was.
Yep.
You get all the way down to a receiver named Junior Hemingway. Junior Hemingway played at Michigan. I mean, this is going to be a deep, deep sleeper in the draft. But Junior Hemingway, a 4-5 guy, was all about talent at times for the Michigan Wolverines. But in closing here with 30 seconds and you get it all, I look at the 100 projected rank here, 140, a guy who might go in round 3 or 4, and you're very familiar with him, Marvin Jones from Cal.
Oh, yeah.
When you were down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and I was watching every minute of it, you know, everybody came looking at the kid from Iowa, Marvin McNutt, but the other Marvin not only blew McNutt out of the water, but I thought he was one of the guys that stole the show in Mobile.
Yeah, he really was, and when you talk about our wide receivers coach, George Stewart, a very good technician, been in the NFL a long time, worked with great wide receivers, T.O. and Jerry Rice, and the list goes on, and he liked him too. And, you know, PA, one of the important things, I think, in finding a receiver like that is not going to be, you know, elite speed on the outside, like 4.3 or 4.2 guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that, because we need a field-stretching wide receiver. Sidney Rice did that in 2009. He is not a burner. If you can't get great speed, you need height and size, like a guy like Michael Floyd.
Yep.
Maybe Nick Toon from Wisconsin, or yep, Reuben Randall from LSU, a guy with size who can go up with good ball skills and make catches down the field.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. Paul Allen at the National Football League Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. The radio shows come courtesy of Max at Pawn. When we return, Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman joins us on your home for Vikings football, The Fan.
Interviews, pictures, blogs, and more from the NFL Combine, available now on KFAN.com.
Scouting Combine, thanks to Max Upon, Wobby, Vikings.com, Paul Allen, Vikings general manager Rick Spielman joins us now. Leslie Frazier will be on the radio with us tomorrow. Mr. Spielman, welcome to the 2012 NFL Scouting Combine. Your first time here in X amount of years as a general manager. As vice president of player personnel, you were kind of the general manager. What's, from a Viking standpoint, with the title, And now with the 1 month run or whatever since the elevation, what's different?
I think the biggest thing that's different is being able to implement some of the things you need to think or that you want to implement to try to make your team better. Implementing some philosophies So there are a lot of different things that are going on in a building, and even just the people that are reporting to you and the things that you're getting from an information standpoint to help you make those best decisions is totally different than it was in the past.
You know, like from my standpoint here in talking to all these media members, meeting personnel people, seeing scouts and stuff like that, you just generate so much excellent background information to carry up through free agency, then through the draft. And the National Football League is second to none at staying in the news month after month after month. From a general managerial standpoint, you're here to interview the kids, and you're here to get ready for the draft, obviously. But how much of it is laying the groundwork for free agency and with agents and people like that, maybe establishing trades, stuff like that?
You talk to teams about potential trades. We talk to our agents about our players only. You can't go beyond that. It's illegal, you know, to talk to them about the upcoming free agent market.
Yep.
So, but basically you're getting a lot of information. Like, we had two meetings last night with agents that are players currently on our team.
Yep.
And we'll have six more today, and I think we end up with eight more on Friday. So you get a lot of business done, and it's great because everybody's in one spot, one area, where you can get a lot accomplished over this next 7-8 days.
Well, see, that's why I'm here. That's why Wabi and I are here, because I talked to Norv Turner yesterday about Vincent Jackson, just in passing and joking around and stuff. So maybe we can be the middlemen towards anything you need, and like relay the information like carrier pigeons.
What I need to do is give you the list, and then as you talk to people, maybe get some background information on our specific
list.
I
have $350 in my pocket right now for that list.
Just think about the smoke screens we could set here. We'd trick everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, you know, talking about free agency and laying the groundwork and all that, and thinking about who might be available and who we're going to pick in the draft. What about stuff in-house in a new climate with the lockout last year settled, a new CBA, a new way to determine the franchise tenders? You know, one reason that I was so glad that you were named the GM is because there's going to be continuity in the front office. Working with Rob Brzezinski on figuring out the salary cap, who you might restructure, and just the new rules in the CBA. How has it been going with you and Rob working together and figuring those issues out?
We've always had a great working relationship and worked very closely together and continue to do so. And, you know, as we game plan, we've spent, you know, 3 weeks ago we went over our roster. 2 weeks ago we went over all the potential UFAs that will be out there. Our coaches were involved in those meetings. Rob was involved in those meetings, our scouts, myself. And then last week we spent the last 8 days going over the draft. So what I'm doing right now is putting together a game plan on, you know, who we want to sign back, who we may have to release, how we're going to replace those players. Is it going to be through free agency? Is it going to be because it's very deep at that position in the draft? So you lay out your game plan as you go forward and how you're going to fill some of the needs that you have to fill.
How many? What combine is this for you? What number?
22.
Okay, so 22. So you
Chris Mortensen and Gil Brandt came up together with Sammy Baugh. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
So you have a way of doing things. You know how to do it, how to operate here. But there's a little bit of a different dynamic for the Vikings this year because we coached and were intimately involved in the Senior Bowl, right? So how does that change your philosophy? Is it all juniors here for you, or how is it different?
We will still get in front. Now, we spend a lot of time down at the Senior Bowl. We know those players pretty well. Our coach has got an opportunity to spend a week with them, so we won't spend time with those guys here.
Right.
There was a big number of juniors that came out this year. Most of those juniors are very talented. That added a lot of depth to this draft, especially in the early part of the draft. So we'll spend a lot of time honing in on those guys. Those are the guys that we haven't talked to yet. Those are the guys that we're just now getting background information from the schools. So we're going to focus a lot of our attention on the juniors at the combine this year.
Rick, with the lockout last year, that was the big talker when we were here last year. And there was no free agency until right up against the season. Then, boom, there we go. Let's just fly through it. What's different about free agency this year with the fact that it was truncated last year? Do you have more players in the pool, a different variety of players?
There's about a little less, because remember, it was, were RFAs, UFAs, were they 6 years or were they coming out of their fourth year before they became unrestricted free agents? So that's cleaned up. You know, I think the biggest thing is we started free agency when we started signing our own players back, when we signed Adrian Peterson to an extension, when we signed Chad Greenway to an extension, when we were able to get John Sullivan done before the end of the season. So a key part of this is being able to identify those guys on your roster that you think are going to be a key part of your future going forward to help you win ball games. And we have a couple guys we've already targeted going into next year that we may want to look at and try to re-sign. So you try to stay a step ahead so your top UFAs don't hit that market,
right,
that they're always going to be there. And I think a lot of teams try to take that approach, because if you let a guy out at this time, more likely, you know, I saw Jermichael Finley got done in Green Bay yesterday. I think
yep.
that was the first signing I've saw in a while. But you don't want your guys, if you want them on your roster, you want to try to not have them come to this point during the off season, because they're going to wait till this UFA market comes to actually see if what their market is.
Into the 2012 season, do you look at it as a full rebuild, or is it a tweak? How do you look at it?
We're 3-13, so yeah. we're going to have to make some changes.
Yep.
So we're going to have to make some tough decisions as we go through the process, and we're going to have some new bodies coming in, and it's going to be a younger football team. And we're going to have to do a great job in the draft. I thought we hit on a lot of our guys in the draft last year, and we're going to have that same type of results this year. The difference is now going forward, last year we had 10 picks. This year, hopefully, we're going to have 10 by the time the compensatory picks. And we may end up more if we end up moving down from that number three spot
yep.
or moving down because we're so high in rounds. Mm-hmm. It's going to get us an opportunity to move back and even pick up more and accumulate more picks. So the more picks that we can accumulate, the younger this team's going to be, because we're expecting all those rookies to come in and make our team and hopefully contribute either immediately or sometime down the road.
Vikings general manager Rick Spielman, Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com, Paul Allen fan from the National Football League Scouting Combine at Lucas Oil Stadium on your home for Vikings football.
I thought you got into an interesting discussion last week with some of the Twin Cities beat writers about the left tackle position and how, and I'm curious where you fall on this, or if it's a case-by-case basis, but you know, and we got into this with Paul Charchin, who was on earlier. I mean, a left tackle can be made to look a lot better if the quarterback gets the ball out on time and if you got receivers who can make the catch, right? At the
Correct.
Same time, a quarterback can look a lot better if he's given a lot of extra time because he's got a great blindside protector. I mean, so where do you fall on that, or is it a player-by-player basis?
I think it's a player-by-player basis. If that left tackle is that unique, you don't want to pass that player up. But also, I know you have to put points on the board, and you have to get players that can score points with the ball in their hand.
Right.
And all these great quarterbacks, they do such a great job. These elite quarterbacks nowadays is because they're so familiar with the offense. They know where to go when they're reading the defense, where the weaknesses is in the coverage. And that just comes with time on the job, and that comes with experience. And they make that offensive line better. I remember Aaron Rodgers, his first year he started, I think he got one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Last year he wasn't.
Yeah.
And it's a difference in not the offensive line as much as it is the quarterback's yeah. evolution and his maturity into the scheme.
Yep.
More with the Vikings general manager Rick Spielman from the Scouting Combine when we return to the Fan.